Okay, so we start our journey through the Lumdus, the history and the Hashkafa of Hanukkah, with what might be the oldest text that we have about Hanukkah. Even older, right? It's a Gemara, as you know, is a collection of different pieces from different times. Gemara is organized by Ravina Ravashi in the 500s, let's say. Obviously, Gemara contains Mishnayos, which date back to soon after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Yehuda HaNasi lives and compiles Mishnayos by the year around the year 240, around the year 4000. So that's approximately 100 years or so after the Bar Kokhba revolt, so more than 150 years after the Churban Bayis, but many of the Tanaim already are alive at or soon after the Churban Bayis. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Tarfon, and so forth. But here we have a very, very ancient brisa. In the middle, near towards the end of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Gemara asks a question, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? This is after a full Amud of discussing the ins and outs, the halachic ins and outs, Hadlakas Neres Hanukkah. Before going on, the Gemara says, well, what's Hanukkah all about? As Rashi comments, what do you mean, what's Hanukkah? We've been talking about Hanukkah. Presumably we know what Hanukkah is, if we're talking Neres Hanukkah. Rashi says, no, I mean, what's the background of Hanukkah? Al Eza Neis Kiva'uha. Hanukkah, what's the historical basis for Hanukkah? Chazam Kovea Hanukkah because of what occurs. Right? That Rashi is, after all, Kedarko, answering the question he did not ask. The question was, how can you ask my Hanukkah a blah, an omen in? And the answer is, no, we know there's Neres Hanukkah, but why? So what's the backstory? The Tanur Rabbanan of Braisa. B'chafe b'kislev, yomei d'chanukah t'manaya inun. The 25th day of Kislev begins 8 days of Hanukkah. Yomei d'chanukah t'manaya inun. The days of Hanukkah, they are 8. Dol mesped b'hon, dol esanos b'hon. Not to say hespedim, and not to fast. They're both in, they're iser hesped v'tanis throughout the 8 days of Hanukkah. You notice right away the Aramaic with which is Brisa begins. Now it's the Brisa that begins the Aramaic, which is unusual. Mishnayos and Brises are 99% of the time in Hebrew. And number two, it seems like a very ancient type of Aramaic. Tamanaya inun. And then, and so that's sort of the header. The 8 days of Hanukkah, the beginning of the 25th of Kislev, and 8 days during which there's a at least partial mitzvah of simcha as expressed, at very least a simcha b'shav al tasa. One's forbidden to fast, one's forbidden to give a hesped. If a person, Rachman Aslan, dies on or right before Hanukkah, the levaya is going to be on Hanukkah. So you have a levaya, you have a kavura, but you avoid hespedim. Easier said than done. And now the Brisa, with that header, the Brisa begins to explain the story behind these 8 days of Hanukkah. We're moving to the first wide line. When the Greeks came in to Beis HaMikdash, they were tamei all the oil. At a later point, when the Chashmonai monarchy succeeded in overpowering and winning against these forces, these Yavani forces, they apparently had lost access to the Beis HaMikdash, and when they regained access to the Beis HaMikdash, you're looking around for oil, and the oil had all been nitma. There's only one flask left. It was still in its original place. It hadn't been moved and it hadn't been opened. It was still sealed by Kohen Gadol. Without getting involved in the Tumah V'Tahara technicalities, but maybe the Brice is saying it was neither moved nor unsealed, and both those might be important. Munach b'chosamah shel Kohen Gadol v'lohay bo lahadlik yom echad. That container was a one-day container. They had, apparently that's the way they were often sealed. When they would manufacture the oil for menorah, they would put it into a day's worth, enough to fill the 7 cups of the menorah for one night. That's all they had. Nasa bones v'dliku meno shmona yamim. But Rosh Hashem does a neis. Kadosh Baruch Hu did a neis for Klal Yisrael, and that oil lasted for 8 days. L'shana acheres kivaum v'asum yamim tovim v'hal v'odav. The next year, it sounds like a different year, or perhaps the very next year, they were koveya these days to be permanent, be koveya, be kavua. They made the establish these 8 days as permanent yamim tovim to be expressed with halel v'odav. Halel v'odav. And Rashi has the Hafi Gersina. So I'm talking about how that's the gears, man. There was some other gears. I said, no, this is the proper gears. The way we have it, usually the Vilna Shas follows Rashi. Okay. Rashi says, Lo Shasur b'melacha doesn't mean that you can't do melacha. El Shalom Nikbu El the crows halvalomar al nisim b'hoda. They were only set as Yamim Tovim to the extent that, with respect to mitzvah saying halal, and hodah is, after all, if you learn Masechus Megillah, hodah is the official name for the second to last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, right? The bracha of Modim is called Birkas Hodah. So you express the yomtivness of Hanukkah in saying halal, and you express in the way you say Modim over the course of Hanukkah that you add al nisim, the bracha of hodah. Modim is a general, global thank you to Rabbeinu Shlom. We thank Kadosh Baruch Hu for different aspects of our lives. It gets specific, but it covers the full, relevant every day. And then on Hanukkah, we specify, we add specifically Hodah for the Nes of Hanukkah. That's what the Gemara says. That's what the Gemara quotes from this Brisa, an ancient Brisa. Brisa actually is from Megillas Tanis. Those who have learned Masechas Tanis will remember references to Megillas Tanis. Megillas Tanis, Rashi tells us there, is a very, very ancient work of the Torah Shel Peh, one of the oldest of formulated works of Torah Shel Peh. It dates back to the days of the Bayis Sheni, and this it talks about different Yom Tovim that the Chachmei Bayis Sheni instituted throughout the year because of different things that happened in the Beis HaMikdash throughout the year. So when it gets to Kislev, I mentioned, it gives you this presentation on the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. So the Gemara is quoting a excerpt from the Megillas Hanukkah, from the Megillas Tainus, to tell us the story of Hanukkah. That's why I was saying this is one of the most ancient texts, one of the most ancient texts that we have about the story of Hanukkah. Now, there are at least, what strikes you about this Brisa? Yeah. Two things, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, gewaldic. In terms of the history of Hanukkah, in terms of the story of Hanukkah, as you said, the focus is on the Neis HaShemen that happens in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Melchama is just mentioned sort of as a backdrop. When they won, here's what ensued. It's mentioned as this as a backdrop. The Milchama is mentioned merely as a backdrop to Neis HaShemen, and it's not even clear that it was miraculous. It just says that they won. And as Rabbi Pollack mentioned this morning, a question that the Maral and Pnei Shu and others deal with is here we have half the story, and the other half of the story, only half, appears in the Al-Anisim. Al-Anisim focuses almost entirely on the Neis HaMilchama, and mentioned as an afterthought, seemingly as an afterthought. Oh, and after the Muhammad, they went and they lit Neiris in Mikdash. Again, no, it's a side point. It's presented as a side point. And also, it's not clear that there's anything miraculous about lighting Neiris HaMenorah. Just they went and lit Neiris HaMenorah. It doesn't say that the Neis occurred. And that's one striking thing, right? That each of these two ancient texts from Chazal, Al Nisim is also, as a matter of fact, according to Rashi, the Megillas Tanis itself is referencing Al Nisim. So each of them is telling half the story. And with a nod, Neis HaMilchama with a nod to there was something with Lion Menorah, or Neis HaShem with a nod to that there was a Milchama. So that's one thing that's striking. And another thing you said is striking is on the halachic side, that when we talk about the mitzvahs, so you talk about, if I ask you, what are the mitzvahs of Hanukkah? A lot of people would say lighting candles, plain dreidel, and eating latkes. So I'm sure you know that plain dreidel latkes are definitely not dinim. Perhaps they're menhagim, they're chilling on dinim. But lighting candles, Chanukah, it's real mitzvah. Probably fewer people would think of saying halal and halal nisim. And the Megillah's Tainus, all it said was halal and halal nisim. It made no reference whatsoever to Ner Chanukah, which is very strange. Yeah, what were you going to say, Mayor? Had you handled before? You want to say the same thing? Fine. If I were to ask you, what are the mitzvahs of Chanukah? Mitzvahs Rabbanan, obviously. Instead, true, but at the end, right, true. Rashi says that when the Gemara asks, that you're right. The Rashi says when the Gemara asks, "My Chanukah," we're asking what's the story which Chanukah commemorates, and the bulk of the Braisa tells that. And then, but then at the end, the Braisa itself mentions that in year one, this Neis HaShemen occurred, and then in year two, or some subsequent year, the Chacham decided to make it a permanent Yomtif, a Yomtif with the following expressions, Halal the Hoda. And the question is, how do you not mention the Ner, the Mitzvah Hadlakas Neres? And to make it even worse, it's ironic that the story, that the part of the story the Braisa focuses on is Dafka, the Neis HaShemen. So the most natural aspect, halachic aspect, would be Hadlakas HaMenorah, Hadlakas Neres Chanukah. So of all things, to Dafka only talk about Neis HaShemen, and then to leave out Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, the din of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, is very strange. And to make it even stranger, our Gemara, what's the Gemara, going back to what you said about Rashi, the Gemara has already begun to talk about the dinim of Hadlakas Neres Chanukah, and we'll get to that soon. And in that context, Gemara says, by the way, we talked about for the last Amud about details of Neres Hanukkah. Well, what's the backdrop? Ironically, the Kodesh Braisa does talk about Neres HaShemen, but does not talk about Hadlakas Neres Hanukkah. That's just very strange. It's a very striking hashmata. It's a hashmata when something is left out. A very striking gap. Or if you like different, something multisyllabic, a very striking lacuna. The hole in the middle of the bracelet. What happened to Ner Chanukah? What happened to the Neis HaMelchama? And then what happened to Ner Chanukah? Avrami, you had a question? Okay. Yeah?
We mentioned that it seems like the majority of the bracelet that's speaking about the story speaks about Neis HaShemen.
Yeah.
And then it says, based on that, Mama Sami Yom Tov V'Halal V'Dah. So why does the fact that the Shemen stayed with Brace was able to light menorah for 8 days instead of one merit a Yom Tov? Like, so it's very nice that it lasted longer than we thought it would, and it was an ace, and so on. But why is that like something that
we're
now making such a big deal of?
That's a good question. Why all of a sudden, it's very nice it was an ace, but why did that ace call for a Yom Tov? That's a good question. That's a larger question. For two things. Rabbi Schechter, in an article in Bikvei Atzon, actually develops the idea that Chanukah and Purim are not only Yom Tovim for their time, Yeshuas for their time, but in some sense were the beginning of the process that will ultimately lead to the Bais HaShlishi. And he uses that to explain, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the Megillah's Tainus was batel except for Chanukah and Purim. We don't keep any of the Yom Tovim. There are many Yom Tovim throughout the year. The Megillah's Tainus, Yom Nikanor, Yom Trianos, and this and that, different Nisim or successes that they had over the course of Bais Sheni. But the Gemara says, but once the Bais Sheni was Necharav, so those are no longer have any impact. Something was improved. The day that they managed to succeed in bringing the Karban Omer properly in the Bais Sheni, so that was Yom Tov for then, but with the end of the Bais Sheni, that was the end of the significance of that success. But Chanukah and Purim not. Gemara says that all the other Yom Tovim are Nivtul, I think it's Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches, but Chanukah and Purim not. So Rosh Hashanah has an article where he develops the idea that tries to demonstrate the ways in which the Yeshua of Chanukah and Yeshua of Purim were not only relevant to the time, but were the beginning of a process leading to Bais Shlishi. Even without that, or as another way of phrasing that, it's worth noting that even at the time, the Nes of Chanukah was incredibly unique. Of all the stories that happened across the Bayis Sheni, the Nes of Chanukah was not only, there were a lot of different levels to the Nes, but part of the Nes HaMelchama was not just that they won a war. This was the first time that Klal Yisrael had sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael, a sovereign government in Eretz Yisrael, since the days of Yoshio HaMelech. Hundreds of years. And it would be for another, to figure exactly how long, not till the end of the Bayis Sheni period, but until they finally ultimately lose, after a couple of generations, they lose that sovereignty. Slowly it sort of fades away into control by the Romans. But let's say, loosely speaking, from Yehuda HaMakabi until Agrippa HaMelech, loosely speaking, you have the Second Commonwealth. That's what historians refer to. The second period of time during which Klal Yisrael had a sovereign government ruling over Eretz Yisrael. The third time is going to be Bar Kokhba tried a little bit, and it was a failed attempt. And then we have begun to see the Third Commonwealth in our time, the third sovereign time in which Klal Yisrael is sovereign over Eretz Yisrael. That's the beginning of a process that we anticipate leading to Melech HaMashiach. As in, we're certain that Melech HaMashiach, that we will have a Melech HaMashiach. We're certain that we're going to have a flesh and blood descendant of David and Shlomo who will be king over the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael. And we anticipate that what we've seen the last 70 years, the last 100 years, has been the beginning of a process that's slowly taken us towards that peak, that climax of Melech HaMashiach. This is, from a point of view of global Jewish history, Nes Chanukah stands out as an unusually great moment, unusually significant moment. But that does also highlight the fact that what happened to the Nes HaMelchamah. So that's something, so two major kashas on this brisa, a hashmata in terms of the story and a hashmata in terms of the dinim. But for now, I would like to focus on Hashmata in terms of the dinim. And we'll come back either maybe at our Chanukah Mesiba next week or at some point over the course of the next week or two to talk about the Hashmata of the history is significant also. Last year, MTA was very involved in the Chanukah to go. Why you put that several times a year, these collections of essays in English on different topics in Halacha Hashkafa relate to Yom Tovim. The Rosh Chodesh Tishrei to go, Chanukah to go, Purim to go, Pesach to go, and so forth. So last a year ago, the Chanukah to go was MTA themed. So I had a chance to put an article then talking about the Maral Pnei Yeshua and the approaches to that problem. So if you're feeling impatient, you can find the Bixav, or we'll hopefully talk about it next week. What I want to focus on now is the halachic lacuna, the hashmata in terms of what happens in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, the mitzvah Rabbah of Ner Chanukah. Of all the things not to mention, all you can tell me is Halal and Al Nisim, and you don't talk about Ner Chanukah, Halo Davarhu. Halo Davarhu. So what are we supposed to make of this? Let's put that kasha aside for a moment and turn our attention back to the beginning of the sugyas of Chanukah. And as we dig through the sugyas of Chanukah, we're going to see, hopefully, a theme that several Rishonim raise. Different Rishonim raise it in different contexts. In different specific details of Hilchas Chanukah, but there's a theme that recurs that may, and the Achronim raise in other situations, and that may not only explain many dinim of Chanukah, but may also explain a lot about the halachic history of Chanukah, and that will help us to understand this brisa. So let's, with that in mind, in order to solve the mystery of the missing mitzvah of Ner Chanukah in the Braisa, let's turn our attention back to the very beginning. The sugya of Chanukah begins on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, an Amud earlier. If you had a Gemara, an actual Gemara Shabbos in front of you, you would see that the sugya of Chanukah begins here, the Baal Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and the Perek Mem Amud Likin begins over here in the middle of Chaf Amud Beis. Mem Amud Likin, for those of you who daven Nesach Ashkenaz, I do not daven Nesach Ashkenaz, But I have said Mem Amud Likin occasionally. Those who say it every week certainly are aware that Mem Amud Likin begins, is largely about the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and begins by listing which wicks and oils are acceptable and which are not. A long list of oils and wicks that are not acceptable for Ner Shabbos, because, not because they wouldn't light at all, but because they're not reliable enough. They're not consistent enough. They'll light most of the time, But occasionally they'll flicker or go out entirely, and that's unacceptable for Ner Shabbos. Unacceptable, number one, because the purpose of Ner Shabbos is to provide light. You can't turn the lights at night, so you have to turn the light before Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. I mentioned a few guys before. We think of Neros, of candles, or lamps, fire, oil lamps, as sort of like these ceremonial objects. We light them for a mitzvah. But it's important to realize, you want to appreciate the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos and to understand Ner Hanukkah more, you have to realize that until Thomas Edison, fire, candles weren't ceremonial objects. Candles were functional objects. That's how you had lights. Candles were the light bulbs of 200 years ago or 2,000 years ago. So when Chazal tells us as a Dinja Rabbani is you have to do hadlakas near Shabbos before Shabbos, that's another way of saying turn the lights before Shabbos. As a matter of fact, there are those who will do both, who will make the bracha, who will turn the lights off in the room we're doing hadlakas near Shabbos, and then make the bracha hadlakas near Shabbos, and or let me put it differently, who will turn the lights off, and then light the neros, turn on the lights, and make a bracha hadlak ner shel Shabbos on the combined hadlaka of both. That's really what hadlaka's ner Shabbos is. It's setting the lights before Shabbos because you can't turn lights on Shabbos, unlike any other night of the week. So you make hachkavet Shabbos dictates, I'm going to show respect and honor to Shabbos by preparing for Shabbos in advance. I can't turn lights tonight, so I'll make sure to take care of lighting, set the lights in advance. So that's the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and that's why the Mishnah says you got to use grade A psilos and shmanim, grade A wicks and oils that you can rely on. Number one, if it's going to go after, if there's a 20% chance, let's say, it's going to go out in the middle of Shabbos, so you haven't done a great job of preparing for Shabbos if there's a 1 in 5 chance that by halfway through your meal, the lights are going to go off. I believe if you look in the first edition of Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, which was written in early years of the State of Israel, I believe he argues that this may be relevant to using electric lights for Ner Shabbos, because in many parts of the state, in the early days, the electric grid was very unreliable, and blackouts were very, very common. So I believe Rav Neuwirth in the first edition, if I remember, we got to check, I think he says he's not so sure that Me'ikir Adin, you're allowed to use turn on the electric lights as a kiyum of Ner Shabbos because that's Mamas Psil Sushmanim Shasru Chacham. He says, yeah, if it's not uncommon to have blackouts, so that might be the same as the first Mishnah in Parakim Adlikin. That's not a viable option for Ner Shabbos. Okay, nowadays, Baruch Hashem, things have gotten much, much better. The technology is much better. So certainly the common practice is to actually light a fire. But one can Me'ikra Din B'Yotzei Ner Shabbos with electric lights as well. Certainly, if you have an incandescent bulb with a filament, you can certainly be Yotzei Ner Shabbos with that. If you're in a hotel, you're in a hospital, they're not gonna, because of the fire code, they wouldn't allow you to light Ner fire in your room. So you get yourself a incandescent bulb. You get yourself a night light with an incandescent bulb, and you plug that in, and that's your Ner Shabbos. Plug that in Friday afternoon, and that's your Ner Shabbos. So that's the Mishnah. And it's in that context that the Gemara picks up at the bottom of Chaf Alef Amalef and says, well, the Mishnah said, B'toras Vadai. The Mishnah said, as a given, you're not allowed to use grade B wicks or grade B oils for Ner Shabbos. How about for Ner Chanukah? Are Ner Chanukah the same or not the same? And that's the Gemara you saw. The Gemara has a three-way machlokes about whether or not you're allowed to use grade B wicks and oils for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's take a look. Amar Rav Huna, Psilos u'shmanim, sha'asur amar chacham heim adlikim em b'shabbos. The bottom of Chaf Alef Amalef. Those oils and those wicks, which Chazal say you're not allowed to use for Ner Shabbos, you also, Rav Huna holds, heim adlikim em b'chanukah. Can't use them on Hanukkah either. Bein b'Shabbos, bein b'chol. You can't use them for Neros Hanukkah on Friday afternoon. You also can't use them for Neros Hanukkah any other time. Why? Amar Rava. So we know Rav Huna said that. We're about to see two other Amar Rav from the second generation of Amar Rav Bava also get involved. Right? You get to Amar Beis, you see here Rabbi Zeira.
And we're going to hear about Rabbi Yirmiyah. So all of these, all the Tamarans of that generation are arguing over what's the story with Ner Hanukkah. The Rabbi explained, coming back to Amaral, Rabbi says, what's Shat Rav Huna? Why did he apply the rules of Shabbos to Hanukkah? Well, the answer is two reasons. My time at Rav Huna. Ka'asabar, he holds the following two underlying shitas. Number one, Kavit says Zakuklov. Number two, Mutter Lishtamesh La'ora. Number one, if it goes out, you're zakuk. You're still connected. Kavsa, like Kibui, is extinguishing. So Kavsa, if the light went out, I lit my nearest Hanukkah, looked like it was fine. 5 minutes later, someone knocked it over. 5 minutes later, someone was waving a paper around and blew out my nearest Hanukkah. Whatever, something happened. Or just a fluke. 5 minutes later, it just crinkled and went out. It should have lit, but it didn't last. It didn't last. It ended up going out. So what's it did? So Rav Huna, Rabbi says, Rav Huna holds, that's the machlokes on Rav. Rav Huna holds kapsa zakuklof. It goes that you have to rely, you're mechuyev to rely. You haven't yet been mekayem mitzvah. In other words, Rav Huna holds it's not enough to do a ma'isa hadlaka, it has to actually light. You did a fine ma'isa hadlaka for 5 minutes later, it's out. If you don't relight it, you're not yotze. And therefore, Rashi says, oh, if you're mechuyev to relight it, if you don't relight it, you're not yotze. Rashi says, wow, we better make sure that the guy uses grade A wicks in oil. Because he's going to use grade B wicks in oil if it lights, 80% chance that it lasts a half hour to develop it. But there's a 20% chance it's not going to last a half hour, and some people are going to be lazy and not going to relight, and won't be yotz in the mitzvah if you hold the cups of zakatlo. So that's why during the week, Rav Huna says, you better use grade A. Now, on Friday night, obviously, Kavsa Zakuklov is irrelevant, because you're not allowed to relight it anyway. It's Shabbos.
So how come Kavsa Zakuklov's explanation why he holds you can't use it on Shabbos, you can't use it during the week, and how come he says you're not allowed to use bad wicks and oils on Friday night for Ner Hanukkah? Because he holds Mutter L'shtamish La'ora. Because he holds you're allowed to use the light of the Ner Hanukkah for your own purposes. And Rashi's Bar Rashi on the Amud, Hilkach b'Shabbos Aser Shemayata Tzorach Tashmish. Since Rav Huna holds that these Neros Hanukkah are usable for personal purposes, so you might be sitting there with a Sefer, learning from the Ner Hanukkah. You might be eating your Suda Shabbos using the Ner Hanukkah. Gewalt. What's going to be? Well, let's leave out the reading from a Sefer. I might be eating my Suda Shabbos, but using the light of the Ner Hanukkah. Gevalt, what's going to be? What if it goes out? What if it starts to flicker? Shemayata. I may turn it back on. Right. For us, when we have to deal with the wicks, we get like a little heebie-jeebie, unless you're the guy who knows, unless you're the guy who knows what to do. But we all know how to turn on a light. That's a basic part of functioning in the 21st century. So they all knew how to poke a wick, how to get it going again. That was naturally, you walk into the room, you automatically turn on this flick light on. So there was this automatic response. The light's going out, you know what to do, you know how to poke it, and now it's going. You pick it up a little bit, and now it's going again. That would just be an automatic response, and that's it. That's a malacha deraisa. That's a malacha deraisa. So again, Rav Huna holds, we require grade A wicks during the week because of Kavsa Zakuklov's law. We require grade A wicks on Shabbos because Mutter L'shtamish La'ora. I'm sorry I said it wrong before. The second opinion is Rav Chista. Rav Chista said, Madlikim in V'chola V'lo B'Shabbos. Rav Chista says, it's only in Shabbos we demand grade A, but not during the week. Why? During the week, he holds Kavsa Zakuklov. He holds it, you just need to do a Ma'isa Hadlaka. If you can use grade C wicks and oils that will probably go out, that's not even called a ma'isa hadlaka. But use stuff that 80% chance could last for a half hour, so that's fine. If it ends up going out, not mechuyev to relight it, so that's okay. But during on Shabbos, since Rav Chista agrees with Rav Huna that mutar l'shtamesh la'ora, that you're allowed to use a light, therefore Friday night he agrees you have to use grade A wicks, where we're not worried about Shema Yata. And finally, the third opinion is Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, according either of Masna or Rav, who said, "Psil Mishmar Shamar Chan Emad Likim Shabbos, you may use them Bichol and B'Shabbos." When Rav Yirmiyah said, "You know why? Because Yom Kovse in Zakagla and Aser Lehishtamesh Laora." Asal Hishtai Meish La'ora. So he holds that if it blows out in the middle of you don't have to relight it. So that's why you don't need the grade A wicks during the week. And for our purposes, this is the key point. Rav Zeira is quoting from Rav Master, from Rav, that he holds you're not allowed to use the Neiris Chanukah for anything, and therefore you're not going to be using it any day of the week. Therefore, you're not going to use it for anything on Friday night. And therefore, we're not worried if it starts flickering, you're not going to automatically reset it because you're not using your light on it anyways. There's the other light anyhow. So far, so good? Let's recap. And then we'll zero in on one particular point. This Gemara is a Stam is very important on a wide variety of levels. The Gemara presents the Machlokas Amaroim on two halacha lemaisa on two issues or in two different cases and relates it to two fundamental questions. Three opinions, two issues. Right? There's a machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chisda versus Rav or versus Rav Zeira Amarav about whether you're allowed to use grade B wicks for Neres Chanukah and Shabbos or not. Is the machlokas of Huna versus Rechista and Rav Zeira about whether you can use them during the week for Ner Chanukah. The machlokas is whether or not you can use them during the week for Ner Chanukah. The machlokas over Kavsa Zakakla, Kavsa Ein Zakakla. If I lit Ner Chanukah in a way that they ought to have stayed going and they didn't, do I have to relight them or not? Interesting machlokas. Not our focus right now, but interesting machlokas. Sounds a little bit like some machlokas whether it's a chovas meiser, a chovas totzah. And then the second fundamental issue, which is about to become our concern, is whether mutar l'hishtamish la'ora or asur l'hishtamish la'ora. And the Gemara said that explains why they argue over whether you can use grade B wicks for Neres Chanukah on Friday evening. And the machlok is, am I allowed to use a light or am I not allowed to use the light? Okay, a machlok is amor. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara seems to have the same exact machlok as an Amud later without any connection drawn whatsoever. On Chabez Amud Aleph, you did not see this Gemara directly, though you may have seen a quote in Rishonim. Chabez Amud Aleph, the Gemara says you're not allowed to count money by the Neres Chanukah, says Rav. And Shmuel says, who says, what's wrong? The Neres Chanukah have no Kedusha? If it was Kadosh, I understand, but it has no Kedusha. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that even if you don't think that the Neres Chanukah don't have Kedusha, not Karbanos, they're not safe for Torah Tefillin, but they are a mitzvah, and you're not allowed to be mevaza a mitzvah. And you do a mitzvah, you can't do it in a way that's demeaning to the mitzvah. How do you know? The Gemara says, Avuhon dekulum dam, the father of this idea of avoiding visa mitzvah is blood. Well, that means is the mitzvah of kisui hadam, and the pasuk indicates you use the same body part, your human body part, for shechita and kisui hadam. Kisui hadam is a mitzvah. You shech a wild animal or a bird. After the shechita is done, you have to take soil and pour the soil over the blood to cover it up. If you shech a cow or a goat or a sheep, it's not relevant. That's a behemoth. But if you shech a deer or an elk, or if you shech the bird, a little more typical, you have a mitzvah of kisui hadam. So often you shecht it, you might even have a bucket of soil that you bring along. You shecht it into the bucket, you stick it right away into the bucket so the blood goes in, take more soil, and you put it on top, and that's your mitzvah of kisui hadam. So the Gemara quotes, points out based on the pasuk, that you use the same part of your body for shechita and for kisui hadam. What part of your body do you use for shechita? Presumably your hand. What part of your body do you use for kisui hadam? Apparently your hand. Well, what's the chiddush? What could you have done for kisui hadam? Your foot. Right, that would be the more natural thing. You shecht the bird, or you shecht the deer, the blood splatters all over the ground, and you need to get more dirt on top of the blood. So the natural way to do it might have been, you have a pile of dirt, and you kick it with your foot. Says the Gemara, oh no. Now, you can't shecht, unless you're incredibly talented, you cannot shecht with your foot. You need to shecht with your hand, because you need the dexterity. You don't need such dexterity to do kisui hadam. But the Gemara says, yeah, but covered for the mitzvah demands that you use your hands, not your feet. What? That's a bizarre thing. You're going to do it with your foot? It's a mitzvah. This is that. you have the opportunity to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Kisei Adam, you're going to show some respect. So that's what the Gemara says, Ner Hanukkah, you're going to count money by the Ner Hanukkah. Where's your respect for the mitzvah? It's a lack of covet for the mitzvah if you're going to count money by the Ner Hanukkah. Now,
why does this matter? Two sugyot, Chaf Aleph Amud Bet and Chaf Bet Amud Aleph, both are talking about not using the Ner, the light of the Ner, for personal purposes. The sugyas don't seem to be, neither sugya references the other. Very strange. Very, very strange. Who addresses this problem? Who addresses that problem? How would you address that problem? Okay. On Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, then on Chabez, Amral. Chabal Chabez, then on Chabez, Amral. Chabal Chabez, we had the idea of Asr, the Ishtanish La'ora. Then we had on Chabez, Amral, Asr, the Hartzos Mos. Can't carry money, Kineged Oraner. And that was based on Avuhon, the Kuhu, Dam. The base for all that is the din of Kisya Adam. We want to avoid Bazuye Mitzvah. We want to avoid the Mavaza the Mitzvah. So, are they the same? Are they not the same? They sound, you learn each Gemara, they sound, they talk about the same thing. Am I allowed to use the Neret Hanukkah for the light Neret Hanukkah or not? But the Sugis aren't talking to each other. Here there's no reference to this, and here there's no reference to that. It sounds like they're independent. What's going on? What's going on? You also a Rishon who dealt with this. You also a Rishon or two who dealt with this. You want to say Shnei?
Ooh, yes. If you hold Mutzer L'Shtamash L'Ora. Oh, so Snow is saying maybe
also Shamash Laura means you can't use it at all. You can't use the light whatsoever. And here we're saying, if you have Mutra Shamash Laura, but certain things you can't do.
Very good. Maybe I can do some things with the Ner Hanukkah, but not everything. Maybe I could count, I could do some things, but I can't count money. Take a look, please, at a region that you all saw. Take a look at the Baal HaMa'ar. Ironically. Take a look at the Baal HaMa'ar. To see what he has to say about not using Ma'or. Laman da'amah asa l'shtamash la'ora shal ner Chanukah. I'm supposed to take a look. Here, Daf Tes Amar Alpha Dapi Arif, where the riff actually gives a title, Hilchas Chanukah. Hilchas Chanukah officially begin here. The first Baal HaMa'ar, the one and only on the bottom of Tes Amar Aleph, Rabbi Zerachya HaLevi, the Razzah. What does he say? Lamanda Omar Osl Shtamash La Orish on their Hanukkah, according to the Shitan Chafadav Chafalev. The Osl Shtamash La Orish, that means Kol Tashish Mamashma. That means you can't have any use whatsoever, no function, Afilu Tashish de Mitzvah. That's what the Razah sees, the Baal HaMa'ar sees, as the axis along which we're traveling. Even if it's a mitzvah or tashmish kedusha, as opposed to, let's just play it out, as opposed to chaf beis amud aleph, we're talking about using it for a secular use. I mean, they count money. Nothing bad counting money. That's not necessarily a mitzvah. It's a neutral power of use. So the Baal HaMa'ar is already saying that, but we're going to see as it plays out in the next couple of months. Chaf Beis Amud Aleph is saying a more narrow thing. You can't count money. You can't use the Ner Chanukah for secular purposes. And we saw there the reason is Avuhon Dekulo Dam. That's Bizui Mitzvah. To use a Ner Chanukah for a secular purpose, it isn't showing it respect as a mitzvah item. But to use it apparently for other mitzvah items wouldn't be so bad. That wouldn't be a Bizui Mitzvah. Use Ner Chanukah for a different mitzvah. But he says, but Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, that's a bigger chiddush. You can't also the Shtamash La'or, which is machlokes, the Shita Ashtamash La'or, you can't use it for a mitzvah. Why not? That's not a bizui mitzvah, says the Baal Hamor. Is no. Mishum de kasavar kevin shem zecher l'neiros u'l'shemen shal heichal. Since the Ner Chanukah is meant to be a zecher to the menorah, a zecher to the oil of the heichal, asuros hein bahana kol ikar. So we treat them, we give them some of the qualities of mikdash. They give them some of the qualities of mikdash items. Now, mikdash, something is hektish, something is set aside for your carbon, or oil is set aside to be used for adlakas ha-menorah and mikdash, or the actual menorah itself, the gold, or the wicks. So those things are asuros b'hanokal ikar. Right? You're not allowed, it's not just that if you set aside an animal as a carbon, you can't have it for supper on Tuesday. If you set aside an animal for a carbon, you can't have it for a Shabbos Seuda either. If you set aside an animal as a carbon, not only can you not, you know, take a pony ride on the sheep that you set aside as a carbon, you can't take a pony ride to go to the circus, you're not even take a pony ride to go to shul. The hekdesh is asur b'hanah lagamre. Not just a question of bizui mitzvah, it's kadosh. I feel likrub, and that's why if you hold like that, if you hold that zeichel and eros and l'shem and shalheichal, then they're utterly asur b'hanah. I feel likrub is sefer, even to read a sefer, to learn, suda Shabbos, suda mitzvah, absolutely not allowed. But according to the Shita on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, who says you specifically can't count money, we're specifying counting money or something like that, meaning tashmish reshus v'shalchol, discretionary neutral functions. As the Gemara itself explains, Mishum Bazuye Mitzvah, there's a concern. You can do a neutral, secular function, La'or Ner Chanukah, that's demeaning to the Ner Chanukah. This is not just any light, this is a mitzvah light. Avotashvish Mitzvah, Tashvish Kedusha, Mutter Leshtamish La'ora. So that's the difference between version A and version B. That's the difference between the two sugis. They're not saying the same thing. And not even driven by the same consideration. Chaf Beis Amud Aleph is a global consideration of mitzvahs in general. You have it by Kisui Adam, you have it by Ner Chanukah, the Gemara has other examples. Bizui mitzvah, you have to show a certain respect to any mitzvah item. But to do a Dvar Chol, La'or HaNer, would be a lack of cover for the mitzvah. But the Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, also the Shita, also the Shtamash La'ora, that's more than any other mitzvah. And that's because that's built on the assumption that Zecher Lenes. Now that phenomenon of seeing Ner Chanukah as having a higher standard than mitzvahs in general pops up in the words of a Gaon as well. Which Gaon did you see who in a different context in Chas Chanukah treats Ner Chanukah as more severe, as more chamer than typical mitzvahs? Yeah, Rav Chai Gaon, the author of the Shiltos. Shiltos, where he lived during the period of the Gaonim. So he lives in, let's say, the 800s or so, approximately. I think Shiltos is the first post-Talmudic independent halachic sefer. In other words, after Chasim was HaTalmud, you have the Sefaram, the Gaon were writing on Gemara. Shiltos, as far as I know, is the first, well-known independent halachic sefer. He writes a rush here in Perek Beis Halacha Simen Tes, quotes the following: Sheiltos Rav Achoy, Ner Chanukah Shahosti Bo Shaven Mahu Tzarech Lasos Bo. You have leftover oil in your Ner Chanukah. What do you do with it? Is it Tashma? Listen to this: Tana Rabbanon Ner Chanukah Shahosti Bo Shaven Yom Rishon. The first morning of Chanukah, next Wednesday morning, you look, peek inside your neres before you leave for yeshiva, and you see there's oil left. So, you'll refill that cup, and you'll light it the next night. Most of all, love madlik biyom sheni. Biyom hasheni, the next morning you wake up, there's oil left in those first two cups. Good! Most of all, love madlik biyom shlishi. Refill with more oil, add to that oil, and you'll use it for the next night. V'chein b'shah yamim. Aval, says the Shiltos, Im hosir biyom hashmini osalo medura v'sorfu b'fnei atzmo. But if it's left over on the eighth day, there is no ninth day to light, So then what do? You better burn it. Make a bonfire, make a medura, and incinerate all of this. Since it was set aside for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to use it for anything else. Now, what would I otherwise use it for? Again, this question doesn't ring well with us because we live in a different technological reality. But if you live in a time period when you use oil and wicks for light every single day, the natural thing to do is I'll use it for tonight. I'll use it for supper tonight. Or we might even say, if you like that, I'll use it, the leftover olive oil for my salad dress. Now, to take the, it was already in the carré burnt, it might have a little bit of a smoky taste to it. But certainly,
we're not talking about oil that's left in the jar. We're talking about oil that's already put in the cup. Oil that we put in the cup, you lit a wick in it last night, but now all of it burnt up. So what do you do with leftover oil? So the Shilta says something which is really shocking.
Because if I would have asked you, when you have a something used for a mitzvah and then it is, there's leftover. I had a lulav, and then sukkah is over. I had a sukkah, and then sukkah is over. Right? But what do you do with a leftover lulav, leftover sukkah? You have a shofar and it breaks. What do you do with it? Does it have kedusha? Gemara, the tashrish mitzvah. Right? If it has Torah in it, Tashrish Kedusha, I have worn out tefillin straps, I have worn out Sefer Torah mantel, but that retains its Kedusha even after it's decommissioned, and I need to bury it. That goes into shame, yiganes. But the Gemara says at the beginning, you all learn Megillah, the Gemara says at the beginning of the fourth parak of Megillah, that if it's a Tashrish mitzvah, so then yizarek. You have worn out, the tzitzit strings wear out, I could use the cloth. I can't be mavazit, like the Gemara Chabez, but I could throw it in the garbage in a respectful way, or I could use it for whatever else I want. I have an eshat, when sukkahs is over, I can eat my esrig. When sukkahs is over, I can do whatever I want with the hadas. I shouldn't be mavazit them, but I want to smell them, go ahead. All of a sudden, Ner Chanukah is like, phew. It would treat it as though it's like a Tashrish Kedusha. Again, relating back to the Baal HaMar. And the derivative as well, who talks also in the context of the Nusach HaBracha, we'll take a look at that tomorrow. The Nusach HaBracha of Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah, or Lahadlik Ner Chanukah, he relates it back to the Hadlakas HaMenorah in Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Baal HaMar and the Ran quoting him talks about the Zecher Lenes. So the Sheiltas may be rooted in the same idea as the Baal HaMar, that we would treat Ner Chanukah more strictly because it has this aspect of Zecher to Mikdash. Well, we're gonna pause here. We'll pick up tomorrow considering several things. The first thing we're going to consider is whether this idea of Zecher to Mikdash has other nafkaminas. We'll talk about the Ravid. We'll talk about there's an idea of some Shitas of Achronim as well, about using Bunsen burners and electric lights and separate soda can menorahs, that maybe the Achronim deal with those shilas in light of, no pun intended, but in light of this yisod of the Baal HaMar. That's number one. We'll try to explore what the other nafkaminas in this notion of Zecher LeMikdash. Number two, we're going to explore whether Zecher LeMikdash might help us to resolve the kasha with which we began, the hashmata in the brisa of my Chanukah. And then thirdly, we're going to investigate whether all we showed him even agree that there is a hashmata in the brisa of my Chanukah.